Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the very first episode of All That Jazz. It's a podcast by the fans, for the fans. I am Brian Gonzalez. I have been a diehard Jazz fan literally since birth. I'm not an insider. I'm not a journalist. I'm nothing special other than a fan. Joining me is the commissioner, Drew Thomas.
How's it going? Drew Thomas here. I'm glad to be here.
We are just a couple diehard Jazz fans who love the game, love the Jazz, like a lot of the shows that are available, but wanted something a little bit more fan specific. I'm a big fan of David Locke's podcast, Locked On Jazz, but he does a lot of numbers stuff, and it seems like something he lacks is maybe a fan's perspective. And maybe lacking a couple other things, but we just wanted a show just specifically for fans, and that's why we're here. And Drew, free agency is literally like 2 hours away.
Yeah, it's coming on up. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm super excited. But first, we wanted to talk about the draft, and basically what the draft was for the Jazz was George Hill and the 12th round pick or 12th overall pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm super excited about George Hill. He's a guy that I've liked for years, even when he was over in San Antonio when they were beating us. I mean, he's just a great player, and I think he's going to be an awesome fit for the Jazz. And honestly, I feel like anyone who's not excited about it needs to get excited about it. I mean, I just don't see how you couldn't. I don't see how you could be pessimistic about the move that the Jazz made and what they got out of a 12th round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this year's draft. I don't remember who got drafted 12. Might have to look that up. But
Taurean Prince.
Oh, dude out of Baylor, right?
Yep. Which is kind of funny because he probably was going to go 20, 21, 22 if the Pacers didn't take him at 12.
Yeah, and the Jazz make that pick for Atlanta. And you look at the 12th round pick or 12th overall pick, George Hill is going to give you so much more production out of anybody you could have gotten at that pick. And what I think Dennis Lindsay did was, not necessarily, who knows what Dante's going to be, but he gave the Jazz the tools to be a playoff team now in one swift move.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting too, because people keep on saying that Hill's going to be taking away Exum's spot and that Exum isn't going to have any time to grow or breathe. And that's the exact opposite. I mean, George Hill is a guy that will come in and he'll play the one and he'll be a distributor if he needs to be. If the Jazz decide to stick him over at the two and say, hey, we want you to be more of a shooting style guard, he'll do that. And he has the capabilities of doing that. So this isn't just a short-term move to where the Jazz can make themselves relevant and get them into the playoffs, but it's also a move that will stay relevant once you have Exum back and healthy and kind of in the groove of things after that long-term injury.
No, exactly. Well, I think what the Jazz did, they gave themselves, I mean, something Lindsay loves to say, Dennis Lindsay, Jazz GM, he loves to say flexibility. He loves to have options. And I think he gave himself an option. So you can start George Hill. If Dante comes in and tears it up, you can bring George Hill off the bench. But at the same time, you can still give him minutes because he can play the one and the two. And he's a great defender. He fits in with what the Jazz are wanting to do. And I think he's a guy that at this stage in his career, I think he knows who he is. And I think he's a guy that would stay in Utah.
I agree. I mean, he's the kind of guy that's, he just wants to win. You know, you don't make it through the Spurs system without getting that ingrained inside you that you're going to do what it takes to win and you're going to do it for the team. And that's the vibe I get from George Hill. Just like if you go through his career and you kind of follow what he's done and what he's been willing to do for his team, the guy just wants to be a competitor and he wants to win. He doesn't care if he's getting 10 points a game or if he's getting 20 points a game. He just wants to do what it's going to take to get his team to that next level. And as long as that's happening, which I think it will, I mean, I see him being a Jazz man until he retires.
That's a huge possibility. And you know, Jazz fans will absolutely fall in love with this guy because he does everything the right way and he plays the right way. I'm just looking last year when Paul George was hurt after he had that gnarly injury playing for USA in that scrimmage and was out all of the 14-15 season, I believe. George Hill scored, he was pretty much their best player and scored 16 points a game and had 5 assists a game. And something I think that Jazz fans can really get excited about is, who was it? I think it was David Locke threw out a stat. He was like number one or number two in the Eastern Conference at the corner three, something that the Jazz have just struggled so much with.
And yeah, you bring that up, you bring up the three ball. I mean, just looking at his stats, there's 1 year he shot below 33%, and that was his rookie year. He shot it 32%. So, I mean, after that, 39, 37, 36, 36, 36, 36. I mean, he's not an amazing three-point shooter, but he's a guy that when you see him taking a three-point shot, you're going to feel comfortable with him shooting the ball.
Yes. You also have to take into a fact he's going to get a lot more open looks because of Dante Exum going to the hole, because of Rodney Hood, because of Gordon Hayward. So it's something to really, really get excited about. And I think they really hit not a home run. I don't think you need to say it's a home run, but it's like it's a double. You know, it's a guy in scoring position. It's a guy that's going to give you above average point guard play to good point guard play when that's a position where we haven't had that in what, 3 or 4 years.
Oh yeah, the Jazz haven't had a point guard. I mean, we've been starting point guards that are either backups or wouldn't even be on a team. I mean, you go back to the Jamal Tinsley, and who was that? Jamal Tinsley.
How dare you speak ill of Jamal Tinsley?
No, I love Jamal. I love Jamal Tinsley, Earl Watson. Yeah, exactly. But Bryce at that time, Cotton. I mean, look how much time they were getting. And I mean, it's just ridiculous that we went that long with that kind of a caliber of a point guard. And this new situation with George Hill, I feel like is the best situation we've had since he who shall not be named, D. Will. But I don't know. I'm excited about it.
Isn't he?
What was that?
Deron Williams has basically turned himself into Voldemort here, along with Enes Kanter.
Oh, yeah. I would say if you had to make a scale of Jazz hate, it would probably be number one for Enes right now, and then a close second would be our boy D. Will. But let's not get into Mr. Kanter, please, because that'll get me all kinds of fired up.
But dude, this is a podcast. We want to get fired up.
I know, but you don't want me talking about Kanter.
Can we play a game for five seconds and completely go off the rails real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
Rank like the top three most hated ex-Jazz men.
I think that's easy. You got Enes Kanter, you got D. Will, and you got
who's the third guy though?
Derek Fisher.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude. Come on.
That's a good one. You know what? That you make a good point, but I'm gonna go with the guy that we booed while he was here because that's his name, Carlos Boozer.
But Boozer didn't do us as dirty as D-Fish, dude.
Dude, Boozer wanted out of here and then opted in because no one wanted to pay him. So we spent a whole year here and everyone knew he didn't want to be here.
Yeah, but I mean, the Jazz didn't cut him a break and help him out. And then he leaves and badmouths the team that just helped him out and hooked him up, dude. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
he didn't get Jerry Sloan, a Hall of Fame coach, like enough grief to where he wanted to quit. And he definitely did not say something like, "The only good thing about Utah is the mountains." So I would have to say Kanter, D. Will, D. Fish, easy,
dude. Here's my thing with Boozer, okay? The guy disappeared in every single playoff series we ever played. And we paid him a ton of money. And then he wanted to leave, said he wanted to leave. went into restricted free agency, I think. I can't remember. But then decided to come back, and it was the most awkward season ever. Okay, I lied. We did have Tyrone Corbin as a head coach at one point. Yeah. So not the most awkward ever, but a bad one.
Okay, I'll let you have Boozer for D-Fish, but
I'm just trying to play the contrarian, man. Okay.
I'm not saying I'm going to agree.
Derek Fisher has one of like those awesome moments as a Jazz man when he came back in like the second half of that playoff game. You remember that?
I don't remember anything good about Derek Fisher or Darren Williams or Enes Kanter. I have blinders.
Have you wiped it from your memory? Control Alt Delete.
I just have hate, not hate, disdain towards those three.
Which is fair, and I have the same hate.
If you do the Jazz wrong, you're garbage in my book.
They love you until you leave, right?
Exactly.
Right? Yep. The thing is if any free agents was ever to hear this, Jazz fans will pretty much want to build you a statue forever. Jeremy Evans, they want to build Jeremy Evans a statue because he was a Jazz man and he left on good terms. And as long as you leave on good terms, you always have a home in Utah.
Well, see, that's kind of what's happening with Trey Burke right now. And I feel for the dude. I mean, it's got to be terrible, his situation, what's going on. But really he's the odd man out, and I'm just happy the way he is, the way he's carrying himself about this, because when he's gone, Jazz people are going to applaud him when they see him rather than boo him.
Absolutely. I think Trey has been a consummate pro, and he has had every excuse to complain and make a ruckus in the press. I mean, his dad's done that enough, and his mom probably, but
yeah,
he himself has not said one bad thing and has just handled himself like a pro. And when you do that, you'll get respect in Utah. We'll wish you well. I wish Trey, wherever he ends up, I hope he succeeds, and there's no ill will at all towards that man.
Let's go off that, though. So where do you think – what's going to happen with Trey Burke? What do you see happening with Trey?
I mean, here's the thing. The value for him is like nothing. Why would you need Trey Burke when you could get him in a year for free? Honestly, because the Jazz aren't going to go into the season with 5 point guards or 8 point guards, whatever they have. I swear most of their team is point guards right now. So I think – maybe when it's all said and done, he just might get released. The Jazz just might release him and let him go wherever he wants. And I think he's earned that. I don't think they'll keep him around for another season. I would imagine that if they can't trade him before the preseason starts, I bet you they just let him go.
Seeing that just hurts, man. That hurts letting something go and not getting any return in it. But I agree with you too. I mean, Who wants a 5'10 point guard who's a backup? And I mean, he's on his rookie contract when you can just wait for him to go into free agency and pick him up rather than having to get up any kind of asset. I just don't see how the Jazz, but then again, Dennis Lindsay could do anything, right? At this point, I mean, the guy's a god when it comes to GM moves, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope they can turn him into something. And I hope that they can get him into a position where he's going to succeed, because I'd like to see him succeed.
Absolutely. And, you know, no disrespect to Trey, but at this point, I would take him for a Moochie's 12-inch Philly cheesesteak.
Moochie's?
Yes. Moochie's is delicious. Shameless plug.
I can't do myself any Moochie's, but no.
That's your stomach is weak sauce, bro.
Oh, all right. Let's not get moving into my
on.
Stomach.
No, yes. Moving on from George Hill to the impending free agency, which begins, it's 8:45 Mountain Time at the current time. So it starts in like an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors are the top free agents that I've heard. The Jazz have their eye on Luol Deng, Jared Dudley, and Salmons. What can I think of his name?
Solomon Hill.
Solomon Hill. Salmons. Who the hell is that?
Jason Salmons, the 3-point god, wasn't he? I think he played for Sacramento. I don't know, but yeah, Solomon Hill. Is
Solomon Hill. Yeah, that. Yes, I apologize, Solomon Hill. Those are the three big names I've heard. I think Dang would be a home run, and then the other two would be solid.
Yeah, I know you and Tyler are sold on Dang, and you're all about Dang. But I'm pumped for Solomon Hill, dude. I would love to have Solomon Hill. I like his game, and I know the Jazz aren't necessarily looking for young guys, but this is his third year in the league. Let's see. Yeah, he got drafted in 2013. This is his third year in the league. He's 25 years old. I mean, he still could have some growing to do, and I just love his game. He's a tough guy. He's an energy guy. And I mean, it's fun just watching him kind of lower his shoulder. And when he gets that straight line, he just goes straight for the butt for the basket. And he just crams on guys, dude. I don't know. I'm excited. I think Solomon Hill would be an awesome guy to have come off the bench.
No, absolutely. I'm not trying to downplay Solomon Hill. I just look at what I think Solomon Hill would be another really solid addition to kind of bolster everything. Mm-hmm. I think Luol Deng would be a major upgrade to the team.
Yeah, you get with Deng, you definitely get that experience. I mean, you get that vet who's has he been in championships, hasn't he? Or he's at least been in playoffs. He's been in playoffs.
He has a ton of playoff games with the Bulls, and then obviously with the Heat these last few years. And then just his style, man. He's not that guy that's selfish. He played under Tom Thibodeau, so you know he's ready to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a dude that brings so much, and he's only 30. I thought he was older than that when I was looking at his stats. And so the only thing that would concern me about bringing in Dang is maybe he, you know, wants to start, and that maybe stunts Rodney Hood, because
about my boy Rodney boy.
I know your love affair for Rodney Hood. Imagine this. You go into the season, the perfect scenario works out like this. You start George Hill, Gordon Hayward, Luol Deng, Derek Favors, and Rudy Gobert.
And here's how I would see Deng, okay? Obviously not the kind of scoring threat that you would get, but I see him coming and playing a role if he were to sign with the Jazz. I see him kind of like a Jamal Crawford type, where he comes on the court as the sixth guy or the first guy off the bench, and you're just pumped to see what he's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, you have absolutely no, like, worry or care that he's on the floor, and you know that you're just going to get some awesome play time out of him. That's how I see Dang fitting in with the Jazz, and I love it. I think it's intriguing. I think it's exciting.
See, Dang's career high in points was 19 for the Bulls in 2013-2014. But the thing is he's such an all-around player. I honestly think he's Gordon Hayward, just a lesser version of Gordon Hayward. And so a guy with length, which the Jazz love, you add a guy that will play defense, and you add a guy that can create for others, which just gives you versatility. And it can switch across the pretty much 2 to 4.
Well, and I think another thing, that his transition game, dude. I mean, when he gets in transition, I mean, he's gone. And I think that's one thing that the Jazz kind of lack, is a little bit more transition play. And it would be great to have him come off and kind of change that pace up a little bit and get running in transition and getting easy buckets. The Jazz could definitely use that.
No, absolutely. And also, that's one thing about George Hill that might be underrated, is he's actually a really good transition player.
Yeah.
So I think that's something the Jazz are probably really wanting to emphasize. I think they want to play faster. I just think with all the injuries and all the youth and everything, and the way they've just played defensively, they've slowed the game down. But I really think they want to play faster.
Yeah.
So
if we add Luol Deng and we've already added George Hill, our defense takes no hit when we start resting our starters. And that's just we're going to have the number one defense in the league next year. Like, it's going to be so hard for people to put up 90 points. And I can't wait for it, man. I cannot wait for next season.
The thing is what did – I think Lindsay gave a metric that the Jazz projected to like a 47-win team last year instead of a 40, I think. Is that what we got to?
Yeah, it was – yeah, I think 40 and 42. Oh, this year, yeah, it was 40-42.
And so you add those guys – and you were already projected as a 47-win team. If you could add Luol Deng to this group and then maybe add another big or something like that, it doesn't really matter. If you can stay, you add Luol Deng, you have George Hill, I'm sorry. I legitimately think the Jazz would be fighting for a 4-3 seed. Legitimately.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, I think the Jazz could have reached the sixth seed this year if they didn't have as much misfortune as they did. Even if they received like 75% of what happened to them this year, I think they could have reached the seventh or eighth seed. They had, and I think that's kind of what's making them fly under the radar. Yeah, they're getting some national attention a little bit. People are kind of see that they're getting better. I don't realize people realize how good they are. And the thing that makes me the most mad is there's Jazz fans now who don't think the Jazz are any good. And I don't understand how you can look at this roster and see what they did last year with all those challenges that they had and not be excited about adding a couple more pieces and then going into next year. I don't see how you could be excited about it. It's going to be awesome.
So stoked. Absolutely so stoked. I mean, next year is the biggest year for the Jazz since maybe the year that they went to the Western Conference Finals. It's a big year. Gordon Hayward's in his last year since for his contract. He can opt out next year. I think he's made it a point that he wants to win. And so you add these guys, you make the playoffs, maybe you get out of the first round, maybe you get lucky with a matchup or two and get out of the second round. I don't want to be overly confident fanboy. I'm trying to be realistic. But the Jazz give people problems, a lot of problems. And that's one thing I think they're aiming to create more of in the offseason.
That's the thing, too. I mean, last year they had 42 losses. How many of those games do they lose by a possession or two? And like, how many of those games do they lose by a silly turnover or by the ball bouncing the wrong side? Like Klay Thompson, for example, hitting that 3-point shot that won OKC the game where he got that offensive board after he bricked it. You know, just if there's a couple more bounces that go our way and with those added pieces, the Jazz are a fifth seed next year and they have potential to give people fits. I mean, I think the Jazz are going to be great, and I think that people need to start getting excited about it.
Absolutely. So you look at more other guys. So say they don't get Deng, because I think there's going to be a decently strong market for Deng because people understand what kind of player he is. I think the other two guys like Solomon Hill and Jared Dudley are guys the Jazz could really kind of slide in and probably lock up day one or two. What was I thinking? Jared Dudley can play. I believe he's been kind of a hybrid 3-4 guy. He's started some, he's not started some, but I think he's a guy that will come in and buy in right away.
Yeah.
Solomon Hill, probably the same thing. Just two guys you can bring in off the bench to help your scoring. And let's see.
There's also,
lose so much. I'm sorry. The biggest glaring weakness for the Jazz last year was as soon as they put their bench in, they could still play defense, but they couldn't score.
Yeah.
So you bring in guys like that, it immediately allows you to rest your starters more.
Yep. I mean, I think you got Jonas Jerebko. I think Jerebko, I love his motor and I love how he plays. I think he could come off the bench and do well for the Jazz. Definitely, though, it's a wing. I think the need that needs to be addressed is a wing. And I know that we don't really have anyone backing up Rudy right now. I mean, we do have Withy, and I think Withy's awesome. But, I mean, there still is that need to get another center to come in and back up Rudy that's not Withy. And I don't know, maybe the Jazz, I don't know, the Jazz seem to kind of stray away from Withy. I thought he did great, but I mean, there were a couple times where he could have gone in and played, and he just kind of sat the bench the whole time. So definitely a wing, and then after that, I'd say they're going to be looking for a backup center.
No, absolutely. And Quinn Snyder, to his credit, did say he probably should have played with him more. So I think there's a lot of self awareness. I think this year the Jazz really understand, what they have to do, and so. As a fan, I'm just super, super excited. Wrapping up here really quick on the first episode, what do you think the dream scenario would be for the Jazz after, say, week one, so in an hour to next Sunday? What do you think the dream scenario would be for the Jazz?
Dream scenario, they would land Deng. They would land Deng. And then they would be getting to the point to where certain teams that are in need of a backup point guard, because, I mean, there really aren't that many point guards that are too intriguing that are in the free agent market. I mean, you got Mike Conley. You got – after that, it's Jeremy Lin. You got Jeremy Lin. So, I mean, the point guards right now are not that intriguing. So, hopefully, once the ones that kind of do have value go – people start coming to the Jazz and start saying, hey, what do you want for Trey Burke? And then you can flip Trey Burke for something. I think that would be the dream scenario. So Sunday at this time, you have Deng and you're inches towards getting something out of Trey Burke.
Do you think the Jazz hang on to Shelvin Mack or Raul Neto?
Oof.
Because one of those tough two is going to be the third point guard.
Yeah, I think right now Mack probably has more value in the trade market. Just because of his second half of the season last year. But I see it, Howell probably goes to the Stars. And you have Mack, so the lineup would be Hill, Exum, Mack, which is a pretty damn solid point guard lineup.
Dude, you just lagged like crazy. It's like,
oh, really?
It's like you're playing Siege right now. I would actually go the other way. I actually think Mack probably gets moved just because you're right. He is more valuable. And I think the Jazz really like Raul. They owe him like 800 grand. Chump change, right? 800 grand next year, 900 grand the next year. So his contract is just super team friendly. And I think they really like him. I mean, I saw flashes of a guy who just improved over the year. And so I think the Jazz probably hang on to Raul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mack goes somewhere.
Because see what I think happens. I think they keep Mack for this year. They keep Howell in the D League. And then they trade Mack next year when he has even more value. When people are saying, hey, this guy is your third point guard off the bench and he's a backup point guard. We want him on our team. So then you flip Mack for something and then you bring Howell in, which you've been stocking up at the D League where he's been tearing it up.
The only problem with that, I think, is I don't think Mack has a contract for next year. I think it's just a team option for this year.
Oh, it's just the team option for this year? Oh,
I think okay. So. I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty Let's sure that's check the case. It out. But anyway, I interrupted you. So Deng.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. So he's you're right. So this is his last contract. I would see him getting traded then. Maybe he gets traded, maybe not now, but before trade deadline, I could see him getting traded out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And injuries are going to happen. And yeah, I totally think people are going to be calling the Jazz for sure on Shelvin. Who knows on Trey? I hope so. And then the Jazz roll with Hill, Dante, and Raul.
Yep.
Man, that's, I like dude, it. That sounds so nice, doesn't it?
I like it.
We actually have depth at point guard.
I know.
It's amazing. It's crazy. Oh, it's crazy. So nice.
I know you love Jamal Tinsley, but the days of Jamal Tinsley and Earl Watson are over.
Dude, Earl Watson was a boss. He didn't step down from anybody.
He is a boss, but I mean, come on now. We could have had tons of other point guards, and we had Jamal Tinsley and Earl Watson. That's not the greatest lineup
I don't know what you mean.
at all.
Those two are fantastic. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to see the Jazz do? I'd like to see them add maybe, like you said, somebody to back up Gobert, but preferably somebody that can shoot and maybe space the floor a little bit.
Yeah, I'd like to see a shooting center come up.
I mean, Ryan Anderson's a pipe dream. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, every team's going to be looking for Ryan Anderson. He basically is going to go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah, I'm not 1,000% sure. Somebody will probably pop up. I'm super excited. I can't contain my excitement. I hope you can hear that in my voice, which you probably can't.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it.
Can you hear just the absolute excitement in my voice? Well, if there's not anything else, I think we will probably sign off, and that is the first episode of All That Jazz today on June 30th. Free agency starts in less than an hour, so hopefully by the time we get this up, the Jazz haven't signed Kevin Durant.
Oh, don't even get me started on KD. He better not go back to Oklahoma. I want Oklahoma to blow up and have Enes Kanter sitting there in shambles, but that can be saved for another episode.
Give it time and it'll happen. Okay, it will happen. It will be done. Anyway, thank you so very much for tuning into the first episode. We will be back with a reaction to the first day of free agency, probably at some point next week. For myself, I am Brian Gonzalez. That was Drew Thomas, the commissioner, with us. We will see you next time. Thank you so much. Peace out.